Like we would have
Blog Talk Radio.
The Jazz
Guy.
It's a little shebang.
Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
So we don't have everything at
good hours. Morning, good afternoon, good evening, all.
Oh,
wherever you are in the world, this is The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with Suzette and Larry and Rick, who will be back in just a minute. Don is with us on the calling from Chehalis, Washington. I think calling from Chehalis, Washington. How are you doing this morning, Don?
Good morning, good morning. I'm in Chehalis, Washington. It's raining, raining. And today we're getting some sun.
Wonderful. Well, we've got a little bit of rain here, a little bit of overcast today, but Sunday it's going to go up again, and we're going to be hot for 3 or 4 days. So, Dr. Don, let me know if you want to come on board and say something by pushing number one on your keypad. And anybody who calls in and wants to do that, you're more than welcome. I want to call your attention to our chat room. I have posted three things on our chat room, two links and our email address. The first link is to our WordPress website, spiritoftruthministry.net. The second is to our original website, spiritoftruthministry.net/STM, where all three of those last letters are in caps, and our Spirit of Truth Gmail address, which is spiritoftruth@gmail.com.
Spirit of Truth Ministry at gmail.com. Because I said on Facebook, they have questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're happy to do that. And I check it every day. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your day to join us here, either live as we are on the air right now at 10 a.m. Pacific time, or via Blog Talk Radio Archive, where you can go and you can download any of the 870 or so broadcasts that we have had over the last 8 years. So let us have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, our mother and our teacher, I pray that you will be here with us in spirit and in truth, that you will honor us by our honoring you and learning the truth, which will lead us to eternal life. And I pray, Father, you will not only do this for us, but as we move forward out into the wider world, I pray that you will bless our efforts so that you can come soon and take us to our true home in heaven. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry over there. This is the Larry that is Suzette's husband. I just thought I'd let you know because we have two Larrys. And sitting directly across from me, looking dapper in his Hawaiian shirt.
Whoa.
Is, don't you? I love that word, dapper.
Yeah.
And actually, you can tell he combed his hair.
He needs a top hat.
Yeah, you can't tell that I combed my hair.
No, he can't.
No. So,
nice try.
Good morning, Rick.
I don't even know if you own a comb.
Actually, I don't own a comb.
Yeah, there you
go. Right?
No.
I don't own a comb. I don't.
Save you a lot of money.
Oh, I'm telling you. And you know, shampoo, I think I use one a year. One bottle a year? No, one full bottle a year. Anyway.
So, should I start out with a question?
Sure.
A leading question?
Please.
Oh, and apropos of that, I think I told everybody that I'm now working at Ace Hardware over in Yucaipa. And our job, and it's interesting because I was fully prepared for this already, is when we go up to someone, we ask them an open-ended question to get them talking, to find out what it is that they need, and to not only tell them what they need, but to sell them everything that they need to complete the project, rather than having them have to come back three or four times. So the leading question is valuable in pretty much everything that we do. So I'm interested in this one. Go ahead, Rick.
Do you know what it is that must be accomplished before the end can come?
Well, I can go to Matthew. I can go to Matthew 24:14, and I can read, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come."
Now, does it say the gospel of the kingdom, or?
This gospel of the kingdom. That's, isn't that what I said? Did I say the?
You said the.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's this gospel of the kingdom. By the way, and that is very specific. That specifies
yes.
exactly
quote,
what it is.
This.
Right.
This gospel of the kingdom is this gospel of the kingdom.
In a nutshell, it means that you, in order to be saved, you have to be in the kingdom of heaven.
So the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
Son of Man,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very important to understand. That's key level one.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be Son of God, Son of Man? Son of God means that you have actually been born from God. God is your issue. And by that, I mean you have issued forth from God. Man means that you have issued forth from man, specifically woman, and our flesh and blood. And as flesh and blood, you have the right to, and I need to find the right word, but it's in order to act on behalf of man who is flesh and blood, you need to be flesh and blood. The kingdom, which the good news of is to be proclaimed, that kingdom, is it a kingdom of flesh and blood?
It is not. It is a kingdom of spirit.
It is a spiritual kingdom.
Correct.
And I've talked about this in the last 2-3 weeks. The proof that the kingdom that the Son of God is proclaiming, and let me just, when he says this gospel of the kingdom, what we need to know about that is, what is it? Because there are so many different ideas about what the gospel of the kingdom is. In fact, most people believe that the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of salvation by faith through grace, as Christ gave his life and by his resurrection, he opened the way for sinners to enter the kingdom, according to Paul. So it's important to know what the gospel of the kingdom is, in fact, before we can start. Because if we're out there proclaiming a message that we believe is the gospel of the kingdom, and it is not the gospel of the kingdom, then what are we doing? We are deceiving ourselves and everyone that we are presenting the information to. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading from verse, say 35. Jesus made a tour through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, kinds of diseases and sickness. Now, the good news, of course, that the what gospel means is good news. So here we see that what Jesus' teaching was and is the good news of the kingdom. And it is what the Son of God said must be proclaimed throughout the world before the end could come. And when it has been proclaimed throughout the world, the end will come. Do you see how important it was for the devil to make sure that this never happened?
He needed to intervene in that, because if he didn't, the kingdom would have come long ere this.
So if he had not acted quickly to replace the testimony of Jesus with a believable lie that appealed to most, or appealed to all those who professed a belief in Jesus Christ, and injected this unconditional love into it, the gospel of the kingdom would have had a good start. The first step is the most difficult. The first step is the most difficult one to overcome. I have used the example of the children of Israel in Egypt as a description of what God needs from those who would be his people. When we start out in this world, when we're born, we exit our mother's womb.
When you get a moment, Don wants to ask a question.
Okay. When we exit our mother's womb and we enter this world, we do not enter the kingdom of God. So you're clear on that. Mm-hmm. When we are born into this world, we are not born into the kingdom of God.
Dr. Don?
Yeah, we have a new listener this morning from Alaska. Tara's listening from Alaska.
Is that the 907 area code? I think that's it. Well, good. Good morning, Tara.
Welcome. Welcome. Now, this is everyone who is born. That, is there anyone that you know of who has not been born that way when they've come into this world?
Not personally, although there are some who behave like it.
So just like the Israelites, the Hebrews, living in Egypt, they are giving birth to their offspring. I guess it was, they're quite prolific because Pharaoh we are told, was concerned that as fruitful as the Hebrews were in Egypt, his concern was is that they would become more numerous than the Egyptians and overthrow them and take over Egypt. And so he decreed about putting all the male babies to death. Of course, conveniently, I guess this came right along about the time that Moses was born. And so you see how the devil is working. Because the devil knows what God's plan is to defeat the rebellion that the devil has started. The devil does not want to give up authority over this earth. He knows when he has lost the war, he and all those who side with him, both spiritual and flesh and blood, will be put to death forever. Many people believe that the devil has been hamstrung by God so that they have specific protection from the devil and his deceptions. If they profess a belief in God, the true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is working with them, that God gives them specific protection against deception by the devil. Now, this is one of the best deceptions the devil has been able to foist on mankind, is to believe that he has no power over them because they believe in God and have protection. They are, it's open season on those.
Yep.
So Israel and Egypt living in darkness under the authority of Pharaoh. We are born into darkness, just like the Israelites, the Hebrews in Egypt. We are living in darkness. We don't, in fact, we do know about God. And they had an idea. They kind of knew that their fathers had a God, but that he had kind of become the God that the Egyptians, you know, he was just one of all these many gods that the Egyptians were worshiping. They did not know the God of their fathers. They did not know him. They knew of them, maybe. But when Moses, you know, is out there in the wilderness with his sheep, and he sees this bush that's on fire, but not being consumed, he goes over to investigate. He thinks that God might be there, but he doesn't understand why there's this fire in this bush. And, you know, there's no smoke, it's not burning up, and he goes over to investigate. And he hears from the fire in the bush a voice. And what does the voice say?
Take your shoes off.
Take off footwear. Mm-hmm. Because the ground upon which you are standing is what?
Holy.
Holy. Consecrated.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, God, the only true God, is there in the fire in the bush. All three are there. The Elohim are in the fire in the bush. And the ground upon which Moses is standing in front of the bush is sacred, consecrated. So the presence of God consecrates even the ground.
I wonder what would happen in modern times if something like that happened.
Yeah.
How many people, on one hand, actually do, and the faith that's involved to grasp that?
Would
you end up with Facebook the next day saying, UFO landed?
Yeah,
and I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think people would have the foggiest idea what to do with this.
Moses, he says, well, he's told it's time. Mm-hmm. You go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, who are your people?
Yeah. He had no clue.
Who are you? When I go to Pharaoh and tell him that you said, let my people go, he's going to want to know.
Yeah, who are you?
Who are you?
And then you take a look at Moses. Moses is not Trump, Mr. I mean, we don't know what Moses was probably like, but he might have been some.
All I'm saying is Moses did not know who those gods were. And so he's saying, well, I mean, you could hear him thinking, well, I know Ra, and I know Horus, and I know Isis, and I know Thoth, and, you know, I know all these Egyptian gods. Who are you? And what does God say? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Go